News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 2nd of January, Anno Domini 2005. And you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. Happy New Year. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
Yeah.
And in the words of Joey Brown, and this is indeed Sound Bites.
We don't even have any rum balls this week.
We'll be doing all. Okay, well, we don't need no stinking rum balls.
We'll
be talking about the news and taking your views and doing this. What?
She wants me to make some more.
I think that would be a lovely idea.
Well, maybe next week.
It's going to be the weekly
ritual.
Although
we got another great offer.
Sound Bites on the 1180.
No, we got another good offer, which later on in the program we'll be reading on the air, which normally I don't do emails, you know, just answering the folks that email us
right.
On the website. Normally I don't do that. But there's one very particular email that I got, and I decided, because she made, I'll say it's a she. She made us an offer that I couldn't refuse. So
no, I can see where you couldn't.
Yeah, on this one. So stay tuned, folks, later. You got to listen to this one. It's a good one.
I seem to have
what'd you do?
The mixer's very loud again today. Oh. I don't quite know why. I'm trying to fix that for those of you who are... What was that all about? Well, it seems to be getting better, at least. I don't know how much better it's actually going to end up being, but it seems to be a little better anyway. I'm working on it. We'll see what happens. This appears to be very weird. I'm just trying to get... This is for the folks who are listening to...
the live stream.
To us online. How's that? Is that better? Oh, look at that. That's
a
lot better.
Now?
All right, now we're good. Sorry, I should have probably done that after I said, and here's Steve with the news.
Thank you, Nick. What a nice introduction there.
What an intro.
It's actually been a slow couple of news weeks. Everyone concentrating on the holidays and actually not much news being put out. A lot of people are in the Macworld. Are getting ready for Macworld in San Francisco coming up on January 10th. And rumors are beginning to fly, and there's some more serious rumors about a headless Mac. There's been a call in the Mac community for a while to come out with a $500 Mac to compete with the $500 PCs. And generally what they're looking at is you take a look at the existing eMac product, which starts at $800 with a 17-inch monitor. If you take the monitor off and redesign the case a little bit, you could probably come up with a $500 or $600 Mac. But it's a market that Apple traditionally hasn't wanted to compete in. The market at the very low end like that, the margins are just so small, you have to sell so many computers to make it worth your engineering time. And that's one place that Dell and Gateway pretty much have controlled by being able to sell on a national basis so many machines at such a low market point. But the typical Apple rumors sites churning away about a $500 Mac. And one of the interesting things that we've been seeing in the papers recently are all of what they're calling the halo effect of the iPod. That the iPod has been selling so dramatically well, and in other markets and in general markets.
Halo effect.
The halo effect.
As in, hey, a lovely object.
Yeah.
Or what? I don't.
It's the glow around
the
iPod.
Oh, I see. I get it.
Not high altitude, low opening parachute jump. No.
Okay.
Or the game. Although Halo 2 now coming out. No.
So not for the iPod. Let's squash that rumor right now.
Squash that rumor right now. Not for the iPod. So the iPod has been such a runaway success, even in the Windows markets, that industry analysts are saying that Windows users are going to take a look at what other products Apple has, since the iPod is going over so well. And they're expecting a lot of people to make the switch into Macintosh by seeing how well the iPod has worked. So it's another one of those Trojan niches that we've been talking about for 20 years now, that the graphics abilities of the Mac, the desktop publishing abilities of the Mac, and now the music abilities of Apple accessories may be able to convert more people into the Mac. And one of our biggest selling points that we talk about on Mac versus PCs is that you don't have to worry about the viruses and spyware and Trojans and hacks and just peace of mind. You plug it in and
it
works.
Well, but that's slightly disingenuous.
And, yeah, if the Mac does get that popular enough to make a more presentable target.
And there are one or two. And more importantly, if you forward stuff to PC
right.
people, You still should be a good net citizen and clean your system before
right.
you do.
I actually had a customer this week. They ended up with Windows viruses on their Mac server because I had Windows file sharing turned on. And so one of his PCs got infected, and it tried to infect the network volume on the server. So every day on his Mac, he kept seeing these weird files pop up on his Mac and didn't know what they were, and it was a Windows virus. Couldn't do anything on the Mac, but it pointed us to the fact that he needed to clean his PC, too.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
No, the Shoutcast server seems to be down, so I don't know what that's about. I'll figure that out. Are you done? Sorry, I'm trying to fix the Shoutcast server. Yep.
Well, let's let Dave do some news then.
Let's let Dave do some news.
Hey,
why not?
I'm ready for it. Okay, any of you folks that have a Samsung LCD monitor, if it's less than 6 months old, you might want to give them a call because evidently they've got the pixels, which are the tiny little dots on the screen that compose the whole screen, tend to blow out in certain areas. Like, Steve's got major pixel problems on his laptop.
Well, those aren't dead pixels. Those are breaking video wires.
But it leaves either spots or lines or anything else. If you bought one recently, you might want to go to their website because they're going to replace it for free. But you got to go to their website or give them a call, and you know, they'll let you know the whole story and lowdown on that. Some of the other top stories for 2004, kind of going over those. Intel says it's going to be a long year because, as you know, they decided to scale back a lot of their expectations for new chips for this year. As a matter of fact, they've already said that you won't see, both through Intel and AMD, you're not going to see any big chips out until next year. IBM sold its IT department off to China, so you know, they're now, China becomes the next India for the U.S. as far as IT support. One of the shocks of the year was when Sun's co-founder and CEO Scott McNeely sat down side by side with Microsoft's chief executive Steve Ballmer, laughing and joking about their surprise broad corporation agreement. That was a major one right there, seeing those two just sitting down and talking to each other because they were at each other's throat.
Right.
Some other news. One thing that's becoming very popular over the years, now that we're getting bigger and bigger hard drives, a lot of folks are doing you know, backups to tape and DVD, but they're also finding out that online backup is becoming very cheap. Apensi, I believe it's pronounced Acpane, is offering like 900 megabytes of disk storage for $9 a month. There are also other companies out there, Connect and Data Deposit Box, where you can, you know, based on your needs, literally schedule it over the night or whatever to do total backup of your hard drives on your servers and everything else off to an off-site area where, you know, something happens, fire, who knows what, you know, if your system just crashes because of a brownout or a head crash, you've got an additional place to get the data back and not have to worry about, oh, well, did this actually work when I did this backup? Let's see. All right. The other bad news, good and bad news, for Security Act for 2004, phishing. As we told you before, phishing is one of these things where you get emails and everything else directing you to websites, especially banks and everything else. Well, back in, you know, 2003, there was only about 279 such scams as of September 2003. But by September 2004, that trickled swelled to a flood of more than 2 million messages, according to statements from the company. In all, Message Lab says it blocked 18 million phishing email messages in 2004. And again, we're telling you folks, you know, if you're getting these notices saying your bank and everything else, you know, that you got to go here and you got to put in information, don't. Get on the phone and call them. I over the New Year's, I have talked to so many folks that I didn't realize that have been victims just in the past few months of these phishing scams and trying to steal their data. I had, like I said, one friend, literally it was somebody here locally, was trying to get a credit card on her her name. Mm-hmm. But it had the wrong address and wrong phone number. So the banks are definitely, you know, staying on top of that and trying to go after these folks. Because the banks are now going to be held responsible, you know, especially if, you know, it's stolen and they didn't verify that it was you. So if you get any of these phishing things, definitely check them out. One last thing, in the effort to help spammers, you know, get nailed, the Netherlands issued its first fine to spammers. So these other countries are starting to get a little porked off, too, about all this spam and all that that's, you know, clogging down their networks. So some of these other countries are finally taking a proactive approach and nailing these SOBs.
All right, we're going to take a time. You did. And now we're going to take a quick break first, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Running Computer Show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is the 2005 edition of Soundbites. Thank you, thank you. Save it for the end. Who used to say that? One of the comedians, David Fidian. In the news for the
as a follow-up to Dave's last spam story, you may remember about a year ago we were talking about the canned spam law, the Controlling the Assault of Non-Solicited Pornography and Marketing Act went into effect January 1st of
last year. Which the whole point of that
year.
Name was to get the acronym canned spam.
Yeah. See, that's the whole point. You come up with the acronym first, and then you figure out what the words mean.
It's what you did with cider, isn't it?
Sort of, yeah. Probably.
Did with Frog.
Yeah, the law allows for prison sentences of up to 5 years, fines of up to $6 million for aggravated violations. Well, it's been a year.
Aggravated, as opposed to violations, it's aggravated violations.
Well, it's $250 per email with a cap of $6 million. For some companies that send out billions of emails.
Unbelievable.
So it's been a year since the law has been in effect, and we have seen the rate of spam increase because now they have legal guidelines to follow. And the percentage of legitimate non-spam email has dropped to 22%. Basically one out of every, I can't even think now. 22 out of 100 messages.
It's a new year.
Yeah, 22 out of 100 messages on the internet are legitimate. Nearly 80 out of every 100 are bogus, with millions and in some cases billions of messages passing through the internet every day. That's an extremely large amount of spam. So the analysts are saying that the law hasn't worked at all, and in fact, in the entire year 2004, two people were sued under the canned spam. Two, yeah.
Wow, whoopie padu.
And one guy got, I'm trying to find the actual figure here. One guy got fined a few hundred thousand dollars. So basically the law doesn't work. It allows this.
Duh!
Yeah, which is what we were saying last year. And in fact, it makes things worse by giving companies legal guidelines as to how much spam they can send. And the big thing that people are saying is the law is an opt-out. You have to specifically say you don't want junk mail.
Right.
Where a lot of other states already had legislation on the books requiring an opt-in service that they cannot send you mail unless you ask for it. So a federal law usurped all of these state laws that were in many cases better, and it hasn't worked at all.
Exactly. Well, there's a shock. I'm completely shocked by that. A federal law that doesn't work. Well, here's a federal law that does work. The Department of Justice has landed its first conviction against an American defendant trapped via Operation Fast Link, a multinational law enforcement effort undertaken against online software piracy. Jathan DeSeer, 26, of Iowa City, Iowa, has pleaded guilty to charges related to his role in a criminal enterprise that distributed pirated software, games, movies, and music over the internet. He faces a maximum sentence of 15 years in prison when he is sentenced on March 18th, 2005. What are you in for?
I murdered 8 people.
What are you in for? I gave somebody a copy of Windows.
Come here.
Oh. Never mind. Anyway, DeSeer will be the first American citizen convicted as part of a plan that was introduced by the old Attorney General, John Ashcroft, in April 2004. Law enforcement investigators have conducted more than 120 searches in 27 states and 11 foreign countries, resulting in the identification of nearly 100 people.
And they got one guy so far.
So far. He's just the start. I think there's going to be a lot of that. They're targeting those so-called wares groups, members of which are believed to distribute unauthorized copies of material to previously identified clientele over secure servers. I'm sure I wouldn't have any idea what that was about. However, for those of you who do that, you need to be aware of yet another little problem coming along. Ads and adware have a new way to get onto your computer through files that appear to be music and video. You think you're downloading a new song or a new video or a new movie. Watch out. That file may be stuffed with pop-ups, adware, and spyware. Some Windows media files on peer-to-peer networks such as Kazaa contain code that can spawn a string of pop-up ads and install adware. They look just like regular songs or short videos in the Windows media format, but they launch ads instead of media clips.
That's been a virus propagation method for quite a while now.
It's a loophole in the Windows media digital rights management process. Is that great?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's a loophole right in the digital rights management that lets them do this. And here's a surprise, there's no fix. Speaking of Microsoft.
Don't use Windows Media Player.
Microsoft has a product called Passport. Exactly. Microsoft has a product called Passport. And the Passport service is theoretically designed to be a single sign-on. You give Microsoft all your information, including credit card numbers and stuff like that, and they give you a password that lets you sign on to all kinds of other services. They just lost one of the biggest e-commerce companies on the planet, however, when eBay said that as of late January, it will no longer support the ability for members to sign on using Passport, which means that currently Passport seems to be limited to
Microsoft's own sites.
Yeah, that's it. That'll be it. Just anything Microsoft does. Listen, we are going to take a break for some of the best news on the planet reported by the number one news person in North America. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
On News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And let's get back to the news real quick. Microsoft, of course, I just told you that eBay has killed or is about to kill any use of Passport on their site. Microsoft, of course, says that doesn't matter. There's still a million sites using Passport.
And they all end. Anybody go to them?
Well, they all end in Microsoft.com.
Exactly. however, we've already talked about spam, and it seems that you got to feel bad for pornography. They're no longer the top junk email.
Yeah.
All right.
Vioxx beat them out.
Buying it or getting in a lawsuit on it?
I'm not sure which. It's all about Vioxx, I think.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting thing. Those of you who spend a lot of time on the internet seem to be cutting into your TV viewing time. Also cutting into your socializing time. The average internet user in the United States spends... far from average. Okay?
I have a TV next to the computer, and I socialize on the computer through IM.
Yeah, I was just about to say. There was a survey that found that use of the internet has displaced television watching and a range of other activities. Internet users watch television for 1 hour and 42 minutes a day, compared with the national average of 2 hours. According to the national, the Stanford Institute for Quantitative Study of Society. People don't understand that time is hydraulic, he said, meaning that time spent on the internet is time taken away from other activities.
What and other activities are there?
I'm sure there are some that we need to know. And just before we move on, I just want to say one thing. Samuel Adams has a limited edition chocolate Bach available right now. Okay, we're going to go...
Can never go wrong with a Samuel Adams.
Exactly. You can certainly never go wrong with a good chocolate Bach. That's what I always say. We're going to go to the phones now, and our first caller is Keith from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Keith. Where you call? We know where you're calling from. How are you today?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Peachy. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you. You guys sound like you're having a good time over there.
We're always having a good time.
Okay, I'll make this a simple question. I have Windows 98 on a desktop, and I have XP on a laptop, and I use a SanDisk flash memory drive to transport photos. I do a lot of photography from one to the other for editing, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But when I transfer from the XP to the 98, when I open up a folder and it lists the photos, at the bottom I see a file called ThumbsDB.
Yes. Yep.
And that's transferred over. So when I go to delete a folder, a prompt comes up and says that if you delete this, you're going to be removing part of the operating system files. I always delete it, and I've never had any ill effects. I'm wondering what that is.
I believe what it's supposed to say is you're deleting a hidden file.
Yeah.
Not an operating system file.
Well, and it could be an OS file. The ThumbsDB
file
is created by Windows XP to give you a thumbnail view of pictures. When you open a folder, it shows you a thumbnail of that picture instead of
it's
opening
like an
the
index
whole picture.
Card.
Right. So that file is created invisibly by Windows, and there's pretty much nothing you can do about it. By Windows XP. When you go to another operating system, you're going to see that file.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do with it on another operating system because it's a Windows XP. It's a thumbnail cache of any pictures that were in that folder.
Okay, so if I delete the file off the XP, does that mean that the thumb
it'll
file itself?
Yeah, you can't.
Because I do a wipe file
right.
with Norton, and it wipes it, but then at the end of that prompt, it asks me if I want to also wipe the thumbs file.
Correct.
You don't want to get rid of the thumb file on the XP machine because it's only going to recreate it every time because that's part of the... process in XP.
Right, but when he deletes the folder, that's theoretically empty. There's a hidden file in it called thumbs.db.
Yeah,
you can get rid of it. Doesn't matter.
Right. And when XP will build you a new one the next time you open a folder on XP.
Okay, but by deleting that folder, then all those thumbs would also be deleted as well.
Yep.
Right.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
You also see a lot of that when you transfer files from Mac to Windows. Each operating system has their own set of hidden files, and you see them when you go to the other operating system.
Well, so do other programs, like Picasa has a way of showing files, and it does an index of it. And it puts another little file there for, keeping records of the different folders. And that
right, so does Paint Shop Pro. They all do. They all have their own little format. And it's okay to get rid of the ones that are like that, that just once you've move the files, you don't care about the thumb anymore. It'll just get recreated anyway. Our next caller is Kurt from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Kurt. Happy New Year. What's your question?
I would like to install Microsoft Media Player. I have both Internet Explorer and Firefox. On Internet Explorer, I can get the Microsoft Media Player. And on Firefox, I had Real Player, and I can't get the Microsoft Media Player installed for the same streaming video.
What error message do you get?
It says here, click here to get the plugin, and then it gets me to some website where I can get some plugins.
Right.
And then you have to download and install that plugin.
When you installed Firefox before you installed Media Player, didn't you?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's generally what happens. When Firefox, because Microsoft is very proprietary with their stuff, when Media Player installs, it only installs itself into Internet Explorer. When Firefox is installed, it looks to see what's already on the drive and grabs it if it needs it. But if you installed Firefox first and then installed Media Player, Firefox won't know about it.
Well, I had used the Media Player on Firefox previously.
Right, so it probably
just recently disappeared.
It probably happened when you installed the real player. Every Media Player assumes that it's going to be your only one, so you install Real and it makes it forget about Windows. Yep. You install QuickTime and it makes it forget about Real.
So what can I do?
Reinstall the Media Player that you want to use, and it will take over your system again. And
uninstall Real Player.
Right, if you uninstall Real Player or reinstall Windows Media Player, it will take over your browsers. And then should work with Windows Media Player. You then won't be able to get to any sites.
You say from Firefox, reinstall Media Player.
Right.
And how do I do that? I go to.
Well, I would first go to the control panel and add remove programs and remove Real Player.
You don't necessarily want to remove Real. If you want to go to a website that has Real content, you need the Real Player. If you go to a website that has the QuickTime content, you need the QuickTime Player. And the same for Windows Media Player. You may need all three media players. Just the last one you install becomes the predominant one. So if you go to Microsoft's website, it's probably Microsoft.com/Media Player, and download the Windows Media Player and install it again.
Here's one thing you can do. Go to Tools, Options, Downloads. At the bottom of that screen, you'll see File Types.
Within Firefox.
Within Firefox. You'll see File Types. Click the plugins button, and you'll see a bunch of plugins listed. It's very likely that the Windows Media Player is unchecked. Click it to recheck it, say okay, and okay again, and you should be fine.
It does if the Windows Media Player works in Internet Explorer and doesn't work in another browser, then that other browser needs to be reconfigured like Nick just suggested.
There you go. Our next caller, Mark from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Windows XP Home, Service Pack 2, fully updated, Zone Alarm Pro, Avast, everything. Anyways, I've got a limited account set up. When the limited account, I go to log off that and then try to log on to the administration account, something's preventing the limited account from releasing the profile. And then the administration account will lock up basically right at the wallpaper. You hear the music, and then you see the wallpaper, and then nothing.
You've danced the tango?
Yes. Yep.
You might,
have something corrupt.
Yeah. You have you also tried Hijack This?
No, I have not tried Hijack This.
Adam, we're finding lately, and this has just been
it's
the past
another
couple
thing
weeks.
I have to update on the Tango.
Well, the other thing, though, is Hijack This is not for the faint at heart.
No, I know. I've seen it. I've used it on a friend's
They've got
computer.
A new version called 1.99 on Hijack This.
Okay.
And you might want to try to check that out, download that, and carefully select. You'll see sometimes with Hijack This, when you do the scan, it'll say, you know, these files are missing files, or you can see some other spyware that's very obvious.
Okay.
But I had one. It was called starframes.crazywinnings.com.
Right.
And no matter what I did, it wouldn't get rid of it.
Right.
It was saying it was an allowable website. I found this other script that I had to save as a notepad onto the notepad and save it as a particular name, so it merged it with the registry to finally get rid of this spyware. Spyware is getting to be very hard that even sometimes Adware and Spywatch won't even get rid of it.
The spyware writers are making it harder for the programs to remove it.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
The other thing you might want to try is running the system file checker. It may be a specific Windows file that's corrupted.
Thought I tried that, but I'll check that again.
Well, another one you can do is check disk. If you go out to go to start, go to run, and type CMD.
Right.
You get there and do a check disk /R.
Repair.
And it'll say that it'll want to do it, so the next time it boots, it'll do a complete repair of Windows.
That'll do a complete repair of Windows?
Yep.
Okay, command check disk.
Yep.
Right. It may be something in Windows that's a corrupt file in
Windows.
Give
it a shot. It won't hurt.
Preventing it from logging off.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, we got to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, the great Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Nissan.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. I was letting the music play a little bit. Is that a problem for you? He gave me this look like, are you awake over there? I was just listening to the backbeat. I was enjoying it. It's okay with you or what? All right. But, oh, man, where do we get the camera back up? Our next caller is Ray from Rochester, New York. Happy New Year, Ray.
Happy New Year.
What's your question?
I downloaded the free AVG antivirus program to a CD-ROM. I'm trying to put it on my daughter's laptop. And it installed, but then it's asking for a license to activate.
Yeah, what you've got to do is when you install it, you've got to put in an email.
Okay. Right,
when you download it, they ask for an email address.
Because then they'll send you through via the email to make sure it's you. The registration number is embedded in the email.
Yeah, I don't remember them prompting me for that. So should I try to download it again?
Yeah, make sure you do that.
Because if you either didn't put in any address or put in a fake address, you have no registration key.
Okay, very good.
There you go.
Thank you.
Boy, I love the easy one.
Let's get Ray back and ask that question again because it was good. It was an easy one. I liked it. Our next caller is Rich calling in on a cell phone. Hopefully, Rich, you're pulled over to the side of the road. Happy New Year. What's your question?
Hi, guys. My question has to do with HP computer, Windows XP Home. I was over at a New Year's Eve party, and every time I go to somebody's house, they're always grabbing me and say, oh, we got to fix my computer.
So, that's why I never go anywhere.
So anyway, the problem was that they have Roadrunner, and they lost their network connection. They can't seem to get an IP address. So they talked to, Roadrunner and then McAfee, and McAfee said uninstall, the McAfee antivirus software. So they did that, but there's still a little bit of McAfee hanging around because every time they boot up, they get a message indicating that, 23404_mc.info.exe, and then a DLL error after that. And I went through the registry and got rid of everything that was McAfee that it would let me delete. But I can't get rid of that particular error message. And whenever I try to reconfigure their internet connection, it can't get the IP address from the DHCP server. It just comes back with an error.
What you might want to try to do, though, is make sure that it's not running down the toolbar, or better yet, start it up in safe mode.
Yes.
Try deleting it there.
And remove it from, go into the registry and remove it there, because then the security and all that stuff doesn't get loaded.
What sounds like happened is the McAfee program has been removed. But one of the registry entries is still in there looking for that program.
Yeah.
Do you think the McAfee is actually interfering with the...
No. What version of McAfee was it?
I'm not sure because it was already uninstalled when I got there.
Yeah, question is, was it uninstalled or just deleted from the computer?
Or do they have a virus on there and they need to run Stinger to see if that's stopping it from either updating or uninstalling or anything else?
Yeah, but none of that would still affect the IP. The only thing that might is if it wasn't just McAfee antivirus, it was also the McAfee firewall.
Right.
And if the firewall is set too high, then you may not get your internet connection. The other thing to check is just the physical wiring, the cable between the computer and the cable router, and make sure you're getting that link light. The PC light should come on when the two boxes are talking.
Sometimes it can mess up the IP addresses, and we've got a link to it off of our website. It's a very small utility, and it's called WinIPFix, and it's for Windows XP, and it's a little utility. If you put it on the desktop, we've got it listed on our website. Like I say, it'll fit on a floppy. You put it on the desktop, you run it, and it does a repair to the TCP/IP connection.
Okay, what happened was they hooked up their laptop to the cable modem, and they have no problem, you know, getting an IP and getting on the internet.
Okay. Then try running the utility.
That's another problem.
Okay.
By default, Roadrunner only allows one computer to connect to the internet.
Oh, no, I understand. They just disconnected the desktop and hooked the laptop up to the same.
You can't generally do that. You need to turn off the cable router and let it reconfigure itself for that second computer. So you can't just swap cables between between computers.
Well, I did reboot the cable modem and the PC, and it
the address.
And that still didn't work on
still
the desktop.
Didn't work. No.
Okay, so
try running that utility, because basically what it does is there's two things in the registry called WinSock 2.
Right.
And what it does is clear those out, because it's got a lot of your settings and everything else, and it's not uncommon that it gets hammered. That's why Microsoft came out with the utility.
Sounds good.
Okay. Okie-doke.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I've used that utility a lot.
Yep.
Our next call is Bill from, are you from Honey Eye or Honey Eye Falls, Bill?
Honey Eye.
Happy New Year. What's your question?
Happy New Year to you guys. I'm a recent switch over to Roadrunner, and I've got a question around email and attachments that come in.
Mm-hmm.
They've got that easy spam, which blocks the living heck out of everything. It works great. The problem that I'm encountering is I've got an occasional attachment from a couple of friends of mine that the attachments get blocked. The message doesn't get blocked, but the clipped file does.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it doesn't appear to be anything wrong with them, but I get a message saying that OE has blocked the...
Oh. That's Outlook Express. That has nothing to do with Roadrunner.
How do I get around that?
You almost don't. Microsoft, in their infinite wisdom, has decided to block attachments as a way to stop viruses in mail.
Mm-hmm.
They allow Microsoft Word files to come through, even though that's the predominant source of viruses.
But you can turn that feature back on so you can get the attachments. If you go into Outlook Express, under Tools Options, under Security, you'll see it's checked Do Not Allow Attachments.
On our FAQ page, which I'm trying to bring up now. We have instructions on how to turn attachments back on in Outlook.
But I would recommend going to, Mozilla and Firefox.
Yeah, don't use Outlook at all, because Outlook is where a lot of the viruses can come through, which is
control.
Why they turned off the attachments to begin with.
Yeah, you got more control with Firefox and Mozilla as far as pop-ups and spam and everything else.
All righty. Sounds like that'll work.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let us know how you make out.
Thanks. Our next caller, John from Webster, New York. Welcome, John. Happy New Year. What's your question?
Just a quickie. I don't know if there's something you might have come across or heard of. We got a digital camera this Christmas and loaded the Kodak EasyShare software on actually two different computers.
Mm-hmm.
In both cases, it affects the Windows shutdown. When you shut down through the normal software shutdown, it delays the power off by about 5 minutes.
Yep.
Hey, you know what's doing that?
The easiest thing to do is take it out of the startup bar.
Yeah, the EasyShare software is always running in the background waiting to see if you've plugged your camera in. So Windows has to wait for EasyShare to time out.
So only turn it on when, put the icon on the desktop and only start it when you need it.
And then shut it down when you don't.
Well, that's what I thought I did. It wasn't in the startup menu, but...
It's probably somewhere
in the
registry.
Is it down in the taskbar, though?
Check it again.
It's
down in the taskbar, yeah.
Yeah, you got to go to Start, Run, MS Config, and
or
then...
a safer way, right-click on that EasyShare icon and see if there's a settings command where you tell it to not run at startup.
Settings or preferences or that sort of thing.
If not, you got to go into MS Config, into the startup, and uncheck that Kodak EasyShare, and then do a reboot. You'll get a message on the screen that you've altered the MS config, the startup config, and you just put a check in there to don't show it again. You'll never see that message, but it won't load it then at startup.
Right. But then you may want, when you do run it, you may want to then, it may appear back on the taskbar down there, and you want to right-click and say exit when you're done with it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I looked at all of the settings, and I didn't see... anything that said, don't start up. But I'll check with the startup menu.
Yeah, go to MS Config.
So it's waiting for some part of that to shut down.
Yeah,
you got
it. It's waiting for a timeout.
That's what I figured.
And EasyShare is always sitting in the background waiting for you to plug your camera in. So it's using processor cycles all the time.
I got it. That's what I figured. It was something like that, but I couldn't figure out how to turn it off.
Now you know.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much. Our next caller is Scott from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Scott. What's your question?
Hi. Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, I just bought a iMac G5 20-inch computer and just recently added an extra gigabyte of memory to it. Quick question. I'm a new Mac user. I really like it. I'm trying to – my wife and I use the computer, and when we sign out, we always have to put a password in. Is there a way to not have to do that and store it?
If you go into the account system preference, you can tell it to automatically log on as any user.
Okay, so I just go right into the account preference part. Okay.
Right.
And one other quick question on it. Your news groups and stuff like that that you guys both have on your websites and stuff like that, could I join and also be a Mac user too? I mean, do you answer questions regarding Macs too?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, we have Mac forums on the Soundbites website.
Our most vocal people on the Soundbites website are Mac users. You're more than welcome.
You also,
all right, thanks very much.
Sure. You also might want to look into the Apple users group at applecider.org. We have Mac-specific forums there as well.
Yeah.
And the meetings every month. And in fact, next week is the users group meetings. We got to remember to start plugging those.
Again. I want to announce that the Shoutcast server is back up, so anybody who's not listening can start listening. I suppose that really announcement didn't really help much, did it? I didn't change anything, but suddenly it started working. I don't know why. But
the custodian flipped that switch back on in your office.
I think that may be what happened. No, I was able to log in. It was just very weird. I don't know quite what happened. So that's back up, and I just want to announce that in case.
Well, one of
somebody's calling you and asking you. I don't know what you're saying.
Right after the news, like I said, I promised. We got this one email. I didn't tell Steve about it yet, but we got this one young lady who made us quite an offer that we can't refuse. And
but
normally
we're doing
pretty
good at delaying it.
We don't normally reply to emails over the air. Like
yeah.
That.
Otherwise, we would be inundated. It gets ridiculous.
That's what the forums are for. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why. But this one, she made us a very particular offer, and I can't turn it down because I won't say we can't be had. But
yeah, exactly.
Things.
We can be had.
But after the news, we're going to read this young lady's email.
Right. I do want to speak up for all three of us because I know that we all get this. Folks, we answer a lot of questions here on the air. We answer a lot of questions in the forum. These two guys answer questions at work. I answer them on TV and the newspaper. You know what? Sometimes we don't answer them, and the place we don't answer them is when we're, like, at home. I got an incredible number of calls the day after Christmas and the day after New Year's.
I got them New Year's Day.
I was talking to my father-in-law. He had a computer problem New Year's Day, and that was okay. I'll talk to him anytime. But I got a whole bunch of people who were actually angry when I said, I'm sorry, I'm with my family.
Wait a day and call the show.
I'm with my family, and I would rather spend family time. I want to apologize to all those people for putting my... No, I don't. No, I don't. I put my family first, and that's the way it should be. We're going to go to the news now. Brendan O'Riordan, the greatest newsman in North America, will be here in just a moment. We'll be back on the other side with polls and all kinds of interesting stuff. Dave Enright, Steve Ray Roblett, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is the first 2005 edition of Sound Bites. We're going to get back to the... Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be here all week. Try the veal. Before we get back to the phones, we want to talk a little bit about our website.
Come up on your 16.
Yep, at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Last year's poll. Yes, last year's poll. Was about what is your New Year's resolution? 251 of you answered, making it number 125 on the all-time hit list. Thank you, each and every one of you. And the choices were less Windows, more alternate operating systems, Alt OSs like the Mac or Linux. Less Mac, more, that won't work. Less music theft, more music buying. Less computer time, more family time. And I don't do New Year's resolution, you incense. Oh, wait, yes, I do. That was the winner. I don't do New Year's.
I resolved not to make any resolutions.
I don't know why I didn't put that in as a choice.
Yeah. And of course, I broke it immediately.
Right, exactly. Followed by less Windows, more Alt OS. And then I'm afraid to say that number three, unfortunately, was less computer time, more family time. I would have liked to see that much higher. But 251 of you voted. Thank you very much. This week's poll came about for the following reason. Everybody does some sort of retrospective of the preceding year.
That's about all the news was this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the year in hardware, the year in software, the year of music, the year of lawsuits.
And I thought, you know what? Who cares what we think? I mean, everybody's got their opinion. What's your opinion? So I picked a few. What was the top story of 2004? And I chose viruses, Windows holes, Linux, the RIAA, MPAA lawsuits, Bluetooth problems, earthquakes and tsunamis, and I don't listen to the news, you insensitive clod, but I know those don't cover it, so I also chose other. Please leave an opinion. So far, we've got 64 votes in the poll, and earthquakes and tsunamis is number one, followed by Windows holes.
That's always the last big news story is the one you remember.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I knew that would be true. Nobody voted for Bluetooth problems yet. And then once you're done with your vote in the poll, you'll see a little yellowish box underneath the poll. And that, if you click in to give us your opinion there, it will take you to my website, asknick.com. That's right, asknick.com.
Hooey.
No, that was hoo-wee.
Hoo-wee. Just a bad inflection. We know that. It's painfully obvious. But at any rate, at my website, asknick.com, you can leave an opinion on what your favorite story of 2004 was and why. There are some people who have mistaken us for some sort of political forum. I'll be deleting those when I get home. I don't really want to hear any more about the election, particularly when it comes to this particular little thing. I'm just going to get rid of them and the heck with each and every one of you. So far, the only funny one is, what was your favorite story of 2004? That baloney has a first name. It's OSCAR. I don't know who put that in, but you win. I love that one.
I kind of like number six. Not that I'm political at all. I just like number six.
Yeah, right. I like that one. It's currently number seven. Eventually, it will be number one because all the ones before it are just political. Oh, no, number one is I just don't know. I don't know. That's a good one. I like that one.
That's honest.
And then come back to the Soundbites forum, and please join us in our forums. We have a number of forums online where you can leave all kinds of messages and views, and if you really want to leave political information, there is a current events section, and I never read that. I don't care.
Put it down.
But we'll have all of that, and we'd be delighted to have you join us there. But we're going to go back to the phones in just a minute. Before we do, we have a website of the week.
Yeah. All right. For you folks, you know, we always are coming up with great utilities and everything else, and like the Adaware and the SpyBot and the Hijack. Well, to find a lot of these programs, a great website for locating this, it's by the old company CNET. CNET used to be a program on TV that they got into. Computer advice and all this other stuff. What's her name? O'Brien? She's a young lady.
Soledad O'Brien.
Yes.
I used to watch her on a technology show long
CNET.
Before then. Yeah.
Right.
Well, no, before CNET, they had one called Beyond 2000.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
In the late 90s, it was technology we might see someday in the early 2000s.
Well,
so far away.
Downloader.com.
No, downloads.com.
Downloads.com, I'm sorry, is a great website. You might want to check it out. They've got a lot of great utilities, other programs, I mean, patches, fixes, other free things that you can do, like if you want to do a print screen and all this other type of stuff, you can do a search. And I highly recommend checking it out for these other little features that you want to add to Windows.
Okay, nice. Now we're back to the phones, and the first person we're going to talk to is Pat from Rochester, New York. Happy New Year, Pat. What's your question?
Hi. My question is, well, first of all, let me make a statement. Installing a hardware router for my DSL network should create an effective hardwire firewall. Will this router also block the holes in Internet Explorer, such as DSO exploit?
Nope. No, absolutely not. If you have a DSL, if you have a hardware router, and it includes a firewall, not all of them do, then your statement is correct. Putting that firewall in will put in a, putting that router in will put a firewall in as well.
To block hacks from the outside getting
coming in.
Right, but most of the IE holes come to you in web pages, which are allowed through, or email messages, which are allowed through. So a firewall really is only your first level of defense.
And most of those are hacks that start on your computer and then go out to the internet and go right through your firewall.
Right.
Zone Alarm is a good one that's free.
Well, but the firewall itself is fine. But beyond that, you need to do all of the things we've been talking about in terms of protecting your system. One of the big ones of which is stop using IE and move to Firefox.
Okay. Would a good one be to use Mozilla Firefox?
Yep. Firefox would be perfect.
Okay, and because I've already done the whole security Tango and do it weekly.
Excellent.
So the way to go would be to use the hardware router and use Mozilla Firefox for my browser.
And something like Thunderbird for your email instead of Internet Outlook Express.
Oh, okay. Okay, then thank you very much.
No, thank you. I love to hear that people are doing the security Tango. Before we move on, I have to say, one of the calls I got the other day on New Year's Day, I actually enjoyed it. It was an old, very old friend of mine. He is both a friend I've had for a long time and a very old friend. I just want him to hear that if he's listening.
Rub it in.
He called me to tell me that he had spent the entire day running the security Tango. Well, he's got a very, very large hard drive. And he's pretty well filled it, and so what do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, well, I get some clients to sit there and say, oh, I want you to come over and clean my machine. I know it's infested with viruses and spyware. And yeah. I say, okay,
I can sit in front of it for 5 hours and charge you for 5 hours.
Well, no, I mean, I tell them, I say, well, one, what are you having for dinner? Yeah. And do you have an extra room? Because literally, some of these machines, depending on what they've got on it, yeah, it can run overnight. I've had, if I can't get into it, it run, say, just the antivirus software check, run all night.
Yep.
It's a little disconcerting when you look at Adaware and it's counting the number of files on your hard drive. I didn't know I had 100,000 files on my hard drive.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Well, that's just
it?
Windows.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
right.
You may only have 5 or 6 files.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Well, and you pointed out earlier that if you don't empty the
Internet Explorer temp
file.
Forget yeah. it.
It can take many, many hours.
I mean, like I say, so I bring it back to the shop and just put it on the bench, and then I'm not charged from the folks because I might, periodically look at the machine. Oh, yeah, it's still running. Move on to something else.
Right.
So you're not paying for that.
Yeah,
time,
you're only...
I'm at their house and sitting there, sorry, the clock's ticking, folks, and you're stopping me, not that I don't want to clean up your machine, but... Sorry, but if I'm focused and working on your machine, it's like watching paint dry.
Yeah, I click start and come back in 3 hours.
Yeah.
Is it done yet? No, come back in 3 hours.
Well, exactly. And if you're sitting there for those 3 hours...
The clock ticks.
Yeah. But if you're doing something else, you don't charge them.
We want to do this next time?
I don't know. Do we?
Do we have to do any breaks yet?
Okay. No, we're not going to do any breaks.
All right.
Yet.
I just wanted to
see
We really need the camera back because... Right, we're just, I don't know what we're doing to Rob's head today, but it's something serious and painful.
Yeah, we have so little setup time now that we don't have time to get the camera set up.
Yeah.
A river. It's radio. Cry deal with it. Shoot from the hips.
We're shooting.
You bring more computer equipment in here than NASA has. I don't want to hear anything.
Oh, get over it. This is a computer show. Shoot from the hip.
Have you seen any of those wearable computers?
I have.
A little wearable computer that mounts on your belt, on your hip, and then you have a one-inch screen hooked to your eyeglasses. Apparently, a one-inch screen from 1 inch away looks like a 20-inch screen.
Yeah, and what's really cool is you can get a glove has five little pads, actually seven little pads on it, and you can then cord
all your typing.
And I know a guy who did that, 30 years ago now? And he was just typing away on his thigh, it was pretty cool.
A couple of the reviews I've seen on it calls them, they're stealth computers. It's bad enough now that Rob is pushing the buttons, but it's bad enough now that you're walking down the street and someone says, yeah, that sounds good, and they're on their cell phone.
Right.
Now they can be doing it on their computer, too.
We sell coffee at the public market. Can I mention the Flower City Coffee Company?
Sure.
Okay, I won't then. But we sell coffee at the market, and there are several people who come to the stand talking on their cell phones, and I never know if they're talking to me or they're talking to the person on the cell phone. And if they're talking to me, they get mad, because when I see somebody with the headset on, I ignore them.
Yeah.
So I assume they're because they'll walk up talking. And then all of a sudden, aren't you going to wait on me? I thought you were talking to somebody.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to be polite because you were on the phone.
The last time I'll ever be polite to you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to this thing
here. Yeah. Now, like I say, normally we make it a rule not to answer any emails on the show. Because
we get enough calls.
Yeah, we get enough calls. And normally I, try to get to all the squirrel mail that comes in and answer the questions there. I do my darndest. And I average a good 40 to 50 questions a week.
Yeah, but don't send questions asking them, anticipating they're going to be answered. Post a question in the forum. You're much more likely to get a faster, more detailed answer because we have lives.
Right.
Yeah. But I happened to get this one challenge, and it's from a very young, nice young lady. Her name is Bonnie.
Bonnie!
And she made us a promise, though. She goes, because she asked me, please don't make fun of me, which we're not going to, because she makes the best homemade lemon meringue and apple pies.
Lemon meringue
so
pie.
So for answering her question, I expect that we should see perhaps on Sunday a couple apple or lemon meringue pies show up.
Or one of each.
Yeah. If she wants
lemon meringue pie is my weakness.
She can always drop it off to my shop, and I'll gladly bring it up here for us guys to eat.
You better.
When I was a kid,
I know you would.
When I was we used to have apple pie machines that all the family had a task, and my task was putting the apples through the Vegematic slicer.
Oh,
so
cool.
on a weekend
were they hoping you'd lose a finger?
Yeah. On a weekend we'd make 300 pies. We'd freeze them all, and then all winter long we'd have fresh hot apple pie.
Ugh. All right, here's Bonnie's issue. She has ABG, SpyBot, AdAware, and Zone Alarm.
Good.
So she's been trying to follow the instructions. But Net Zero can't properly communicate and was told to go to the control panel, double-click on the modem, properties, advanced, find extra initialization.
Yeah, because she's gone into safe mode, which cuts off your network connection.
Bonnie, what you have to do, and I did email it to you, but just so other folks know, what you have to do first is connect to the internet in regular mode. Get the updates for both AdAware, SpyBot, and if you need to download Stinger, that's only
Stinger,
if your
whatever.
Antivirus isn't up to date. Get all the downloads. Just connect from the internet. Reboot your machine. In your case, you're running Windows 98. Keep hitting the F8 key. You will get a menu. Option 3 is to go into safe mode. From there, then you can safely then run both the AdAware, Stinger, and SpyBot to eliminate all your issues. And that should solve your problem. In return, we still expect a lemon meringue and apple pie.
I love lemon meringue.
Candy box.
I have to say, I want to thank everybody who has suggested that they would be willing to help me rewrite the security. Tango Eagle Wolf is trying to automate the whole thing. Lori wrote up some things. A gentleman wrote to me and actually had rewritten everything. I will be redoing them. Very, very shortly, because all right. It should be redone, and it should be redone in a slightly different order, and I will do that.
Well,
because
my wife did up, I kept out of it, and she did a great step-by-step procedure for running both AdAware and SpyBot, so it's user-friendly. She's looking for any input that, it needs to be changed or
anything
else.
Your wife is a very smart woman. As far as I can see, she only made one mistake in her entire life.
She's still with me.
But God bless her for making that mistake.
As a matter of fact, I got announced as of Tuesday. It was the 28th. We had been married 28 years. 20 years. I'm the 28th.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I think
Lori,
this one might
you're
work.
You're a saint.
This one might work.
You're an absolute saint. Our next caller is Steve from Brockport, New York. Happy New Year, Steve. What's your question?
I recently acquired a Macintosh G3 tower running OS 8, and I can't get it to connect to the internet using DSL through an Ethernet connection.
What happens when you try?
It tells me to go into the TCP IP control panel, and basically that's where I don't know what to do.
Are you getting an address from your DSL provider?
No, I'm not.
What address is it getting?
It's not getting anything.
Then, okay, something is misconfigured. You should either get a 169 address that's the self-assigned address when it can't find an upstream address, or you'll get a number from your internet provider. Generally speaking, in the TCP control panel, you want that to set to connect via Ethernet and configure via DHCP.
Mm-hmm.
And then plug into your DSL router. And most of the routers will have a link integrity light or a PC light or something like that.
Yes, that goes on.
So you're getting the hardware connection between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, you should be able to close the TCP control panel and the next internet-type program you open, like Internet Explorer, should tell the network to get an address.
This is wanting a DHCP client ID.
No, that's an optional field where you can, basically it's for large networks where you can put in a user's name.
Okay.
So the network administrator can see whose name is using what address on the internet.
Okay.
But that you can pretty much ignore. If things like that, if you've got those settings and you're still not getting an address, you can try to delete the TCP preference file that's in your system folder. And restart the computer, and it will generate a new TCP preference file that you then set to Ethernet and DHCP.
In particular, if the person you got this from had been on a network where he or she had a static address that they had put in.
Oh, yeah, there's another setting that's DHCP with static address. So,
right.
So it gets your DNS servers from the server, but your address statically.
Right. That if that were the case, then you would be getting an incorrect address. I'll almost guarantee it. So your most effective solution may well be to delete the preferences and let them be recreated.
Right.
We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
And I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. And we're going to go back to the phones. What a shock that is. And we're going to talk to Eli in Rochester. Welcome, Eli. What's your question?
Morning, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I have an interesting question here for you. I finally had an opportunity over the holidays to do a project that I've been wanting to do for a while, which is build my own PC at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a motherboard and case and everything else. I bought an AMD 2700 Athlon.
Mm-hmm.
And everything works like a champ once I got through all the hiccups of the jumpers and everything.
Right.
But when I have to boot the machine, the first boot every time does not recognize the mouse or the keyboard. Then I have to reboot it or do a reset, start the machine again, and it works like a champ. Works great.
Are they PS2 or USB?
PS2.
Should be turned down.
That blew my theory.
Yeah.
USB drivers may not load until Windows loads.
I downloaded the drivers for the Microsoft mouse just in case. Mm-hmm. It is a USB mouse going to the PS2
Yeah, it's just a converter.
So it doesn't matter. I tried it on the USB side, too. That did the same thing. So it's just like the keyboard and the mouse is totally frozen. I do a reset, start the machine again, and boom, it works like a champ.
You might want to try removing them out of the control panel under the device manager and let it refind them.
Well, let's try something else first.
Okay.
What I'd like you to try is when the machine boots, go into the setup.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And just sit there for a minute, and then let the system boot and see if it finds everything. That will tell us whether it's some sort of hardware problem related to heat.
Mm-hmm.
The heat?
Yeah. What happens is there are sometimes, and particularly when you build your own machine, this happens a lot, you flex the board a little and create a tiny little break in one of the traces. When the system heats up, of course, the thing expands and closes that gap.
Wait, another thing, too.
So, hold on, let me finish. The first thing that happens is when you first boot it, that break is there, but as it heats up, that break gets closed.
And the break could be microscopic. You may not
exactly.
see it.
Exactly. So, if you were
though,
to go...
He said, though, he built his own machine. Just to interrupt you for
yeah,
a second.
Yeah.
Do you have enough fans on it? Newer machines require one hell of a lot of airflow. And if you don't have fans both on the front and the rear end, I've seen them overheat just from that nowadays.
This is from square one.
Yeah.
Square one, I mean, or even if...
Yeah, but he's having it at first, and then it works.
Yeah,
so
it works immediately.
That would be
I mean,
the opposite if it were overheating. So that's my suggestion. Try that. If that works, then what's happened is you've gotten that little break in there. I don't know of any way to fix that.
Or find out which
because there's a million of them
is,
now,
yeah.
And they're microscopic, but that will at least tell us whether that's the problem.
You could try USB keyboard and mouse and see if it's the PS2 ports or
you
it's something more.
You did try the USB
more.
Mouse.
Well, it's a USB mouse with a PS2 adapter into the PS2 port.
Yeah, but you said you tried it in the USB port, right?
I think he's gone.
Well, anyway, try that and let us know. Our next caller... Because that's one of the toughest ones
well,
to trace
like
down.
Another
but I see
big
that...
concern, though, is fans. I mean,
yeah, if
you're going to
build
your
own put
machine,
a lot of fans in it.
I usually put, you know, one fan in the front to suck the air in, and then if I can fit it, you know, one to two fans. And, I mean, these are good 3-inch square fans in the back because nowadays, especially if you're going with the newer technology, the serial ATA drives, those suckers run hot.
They're hot.
Plus the fans that are built into the power supply, plus the fans that are on the CPU itself, you need a lot of fans.
You need a lot of fans.
I mean, you've got to move some area because everything has gotten so much smaller and concise that, I mean, airflow is one of the big major issues now.
Yep. Well, speaking of fans, we have a fan on the phone. Russ calling.
Oh,
calling in on his cell phone. Welcome, Russ. Good. Happy New Year. What's your question?
Hey. I got a gigabyte hard drive, okay? I downloaded drivers for it off the internet, and I have a Sony burner. I think it's a DW538. Well, I'm moving for...
Oh, Russ, we're completely losing you here. You're gone. I'm so sorry.
Try finding a better cell tower.
Yeah, we lost you completely. We're going to go to Colleen in Perry, New York. Welcome, Colleen. What's your question?
My call.
Sure.
My question is about System File Checker. I ran it because I know I have some corrupted files, and when I ran it, I noticed that there were a lot of changed files and deleted files, and the ones that bother me are that the changed files, a lot of them have an older date, you know, like the previous said it was like a 99 file, and then maybe the current is a 97 file, and I'm just wondering what to do about that. You know, I see all these things that need to be changed, but I'm kind of hesitant to make the current file, which has an older date and a smaller file size.
Yeah, one of the problems that you run into with System File Checker is that if you've loaded any Windows updates, System File Checker may not know about them.
What OS are you running?
Windows 98.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So if you've loaded, like, 98 Service Pack 2, your System File Checker may be saying, oh, this file is new and different. Because it's only looking for the Service Pack 1 file name. So one of the options in that is to ignore those changes and make that the new baseline.
Bottom line here, Colleen, is that if you've danced the security tango and you know your system is clean, you can pretty much ignore those messages.
Okay.
Yeah, just let it reinstall the damaged files and ignore the ones that say that are changed or new, because that's probably good. You've loaded an update, and that's why it's new.
Yep.
Okay. All right. That's what I needed to know.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you, Colleen.
Bye-bye.
It is very tough nowadays. There's so much information that you get when you run some of these utilities that knowing what they mean is very hard to know at all.
And going by them can cause you damage.
Especially some of the cleaner programs, the clean sweep and some of the things that purport to clean out your system. Mm-hmm. They give you this giant list at the end. And here, do you want me to clean these? I don't know. That's why I bought you.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. Happy New Year, Bob.
Hey,
I'll get it straight eventually. Yeah, happy New Year, Bob.
You want to keep saying Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Merry New Year.
Actually calling for a friend of mine who has a problem.
Oh, no. How many times? Well, no, I got this friend who's got a problem. Not me at all. It's a friend. Go ahead.
It truly is. Yeah. Truly is. And I've been trying to help her with it. Cannot seem to fix it. It's her MSN Hotmail, which she cannot get into. She can go to any other website, cannot get into her Hotmail, but anybody from any other computer can get into her Hotmail.
What is she using as a browser?
She's using Internet Explorer. I suggest that she try Firefox, which works periodically.
Hmm. Interesting.
Cache file, maybe?
How's her antivirus software?
It's up to date.
And she's danced the tango?
Supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly. And has she dumped her temp files?
Yes. I wrote to MSN. They gave me a list of about 9 things to try on her machine, which we did them all. And it's a periodic problem. Sometimes she can get in, sometimes she can't.
Yeah, this is something that's been happening with Hotmail. And you can tell that because there's a whole list of things to try, and they know it's a problem.
Right.
I don't believe at this point, from what little I don't use Hotmail, so I'm not as familiar with the problem as I could be. But from what I know about the problem at this point, I have to say it's not your friend's problem. Although, because other people can get to it. Who's her internet service provider?
Frontier.
Have you talked to them?
No, I haven't.
Talk to them and find out if there's some sort of block they're putting on.
Okay.
They do that periodically. People start spamming from Hotmail, and they block Hotmail. And then Microsoft complains, and they take the block off. And then people spam from Hotmail, and they block it. And then Microsoft complains, and they take it off. That happens fairly regularly. So find out from Frontier what's going on with them.
Okay.
Because it may, and of course, you got to give Frontier credit for that. That's what they're supposed to do is block spam.
Well, if she's got Frontier, then she should be getting an email account through them, and I'd use that instead.
A lot of people like to keep one email address. If she changes service providers, she'd want to have the same email address no matter who her service is.
Well, then
some
people even Netscape or
Gmail.
They'll give you a free email account.
Some people like to have a public email address that they used for signing up things on the internet, so that's where all the junk mail goes. And their private address they keep for known people.
Hotmail's one of the worst, though, to do that.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest offenders of spam, because it's a free service. You can sign up, send out a million messages, and disappear.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, check with Frontier and see what their story is. That's probably your best bet at this point. And let us know. I'd be interested in knowing what they say. Like I said, I don't do Hotmail, and so I don't know.
It happens to Roadrunner quite frequently, too. One person somewhere on the Roadrunner network, which is nationwide now, sends out spam, and mail servers will block everyone in the rr.com domain.
Yeah.
And then in a few hours, the service figures it out, corrects it, and so for a while your mail doesn't work, and then it suddenly starts by itself.
Yeah. Ask Nick is on a server with a whole lot of other things, and one of them was incorrectly listed as a spammer. And so the entire system, which had hundreds of websites on it, were all listed as spammers, so I couldn't send out any Ask Nick mail. Jerry, the folks at CLSS Enterprises, great, great people, moved me to another server, so I'm fine now, and then they eventually got that block off, but it was a pain in the neck for everybody.
That's a problem for you and for us at Jesse Group, that we want to have solicited email. I don't want to say junk mail. We have a few thousand customers that we send email to on specials and whatnot, and your subscriber list.
I have thousands of people on that.
So you may send 1,000 messages in a day.
Right.
And it isn't junk mail.
Right.
But a system may see that and shut you down.
Yeah, exactly. It's a real problem. And the brute force method of just counting emails and shutting people down really isn't the right solution.
Yeah.
Our next caller is Jim from Lima, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I just installed Firefox on my machine. It's XP Service Pack 2. And when I first started up, it takes a good 30 seconds to actually come up. I click on it, and it'll show the icon, it's working. And then it'll just sit there for a good 20 more seconds.
What is your internet service provider?
Roadrunner.
Hmm. Okay, that was there goes my theory.
Now the if I have one version of it up and I click on it again, it comes up instantly.
Right. Yeah. There's
what is your homepage?
Is
it a page with Flash or any of that sort of fare on it?
It's the Firefox Start. I haven't even changed that. It comes up with a Google search.
Yeah, I've noticed that with Mozilla that it can, the first time you launch it, it can take a few seconds, but then there's this, what do they call it, the quick launch, that when you quit Mozilla, it leaves some of itself in memory so you can launch it again faster, but the very first time you launch it, it takes a few seconds.
One of the problems is that Firefox is not what they call pre-linked. What Microsoft does with their products is whenever you start up Windows, it looks to see what Microsoft products are on your machine and loads a piece of them.
Which is why it takes so long to boot.
Which is why it takes so long to boot. It's preloaded a lot of what Microsoft expects you to use every day, Internet Explorer, Word, like that. So if you don't use those things, they're taking up memory. But if you do use them, they start up faster because most of the startup happened during your boot process.
But this, I mean, again, this takes about 30 seconds, and it pretty much, it almost seems to lock up my machine at times.
Yeah. What else do you have running on your machine? And how much memory do you have?
I've got 512 mega memory. It's a 1.7 gigahertz compact. It's weird because, again, I've got a window open right now, so if I start up a new one, it comes up instantly.
Well, sure, because it's already running.
One other thing, though, Jim. You said you got Service Pack 2 on there?
Yeah.
Did you turn off that Microsoft Internet security and the firewall and all that good stuff?
I did.
Disabled that?
I disabled the firewall.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes up every time and tells me that.
Yeah, well, you got to go into that feature and under advanced. You can say there's a little box down below, and you can check that and says, yeah, I'm aware of this, and just don't bug me.
I already have another firewall I'm using, basically.
Okay.
But check that because that could be stalling things, too. If that's sitting there trying to, you know, check to see if he's vulnerable.
And what antivirus program are you using?
McAfee.
Do you have it set to scan everything? It may be scanning that as it loads.
Not that I know of.
Check that. That will definitely slow it down.
Or is this on a cold boot, generally?
No, actually, I just shut down all the Firefox windows, and if I start one up now, it's going to take 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Yeah, check. I would start with McAfee. I would suspect that it's doing scanning as it goes, and that's where the problem lies. Check that and let us know. That happened to me with, at one point, I couldn't copy files. It took forever to copy files, and then I realized that McAfee was scanning everything, even going out, coming in.
Probably twice, because it scanned it as it opened
exactly.
And scanned it as it wrote it.
Exactly. And so that made it very, very slow. And so you want to be very careful of that. That could speed up your system, just checking that out. Our next caller is Ed from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome,
Happy
Ed.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you. What's up?
Got a Gateway computer. I think it's like a 1.2 speed on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's running okay, but I tried to put Pirates on it for my son, and it had to put in a new video card on it. So I put an ATI 9600, I think, and it runs for a couple minutes and then dies. It just runs for enough for him to start getting into the game, and then the game locked up, whole computer locked
what
up.
What OS?
Running ME.
Nope.
Well,
that's why.
That's probably why.
It's supposed to work.
What?
Well, yeah, a lot of things are supposed to work in ME, and very few do.
Yeah,
a lot of things when they first came out said, we'll work with ME. Because what Microsoft said was if it works with 98, it'll work with ME.
Not always.
You might want to check the website for the Pirates software and see if there are any updates to that.
I did. There's nothing there.
Yeah. For a 1.0, how much RAM do you have?
512.
You know what? It might just be time for you to move to XP. Now, when you do move to XP, first, ME is no longer supported. Nobody cares about it, including Microsoft. So it's time to move to XP anyway. When you do, make sure that either you do an absolutely clean install, which means wipe the hard drive out and do a full install, Or before you do any installing, make sure that you have downloaded and know where they are, every driver for every hardware device on your system. Because if you leave even one ME driver in there, you'll start having the worst and most impossible to track down problems with your new XP installation. But I would honestly suggest to everybody your New Year's resolution be to get rid of ME. Are you happy that I said that?
Yes, because, you know, that even you even just brought up one good point. ME is no longer supported, but, oh, gee, I can go to Windows 98 and still get some updates. That should tell folks something.
Yeah, exactly. All right, listen, I apologize to everybody to whom we did not get because we are done for another week, and I want to thank everybody who did call in. We will be back here next week. We're well on our way into 2005 now. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton.
And Bonnie, you can deliver those lemon meringue pie and apple pie to 70...
Well, don't guilt her too bad.
70 Empire Boulevard.
Bonnie, there is no... you have no obligation to do that, although I love lemon meringue pie. I'm Nick Francesco. This is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.